Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to Colin's Last Stand Side Quest. My name is Colin Moriarty. As always, I hope today's video finds you and yours very well. Today, I want to talk about something a little different because we're not going to talk about games specifically or a publisher specifically or a development house specifically, anything like that. Instead, we're going to talk about abuse and harassment and toxicity in the gaming industry. And this is a topic that has actually evolved a great deal. Things have developed so rapidly as I was writing it that I wanted to make sure to include everything. And so what I want to do is I want to tell you kind of three tales of harassment, stalking, all of that toxicity in the games industry from the perspective of a journalist, from the perspective of a developer, and from my perspective, and kind of give you a little bit of a story about what some people are going through and how we all need to be better and how this is all framed around social media and how social media is so important and has so much potential, but yet is used in such destructive and nefarious and sinister ways, and it's really sad to me. And the story I'm going to tell you about in particular about me is something that I've not really opened up about with anyone, and I hope it resonates with you. I feel like I need to talk about it, and I feel like I need to let you guys know out there if you're dealing with stuff that you're not alone. And I also know that people don't always reach the end of the videos. So if you do deal with harassment, stalking, cyber harassment, whatever the case might be, there are resources that I've put in the description below so that maybe those will be helpful to you in the future. But enough of all of that. I want to tell you this story. I hope you enjoyed it. It's a little bit different for a side quest episode, but I think it will resonate with you. Social media is the internet's ultimate double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's this amazing way to interact with people from all around the world, learn about important events the second they happen, and foster a network of really interesting, diverse, and thought-provoking ideas held and propagated by interesting, diverse, and thought-provoking people. And there are memes too, lots of memes. Who doesn't love a good meme? Social media has infinite potential based solely on its open, rapid, always-on nature. It's torn down walls, democratized how we reach, see, interact with, and access information, revolutionized marketing, branding, and awareness, and all jokes aside, has done a lot of good for this world. I truly believe that. Gaming has been a significant beneficiary of this seismic, inexorable shift. As the gaming industry has gotten larger and larger, social media has helped it feel small and even boutique-ish. Suddenly, gamers don't only have unbridled access to each other, but also access to their heroes that make the games they love. Likewise, games media and their legions of readers, viewers, and listeners can toss around ideas, pursue and nurture friendships, and exchange perspectives. Eager players can evangelize games they love, from the smallest indies to the largest AAAs, and ward the unknowing away from money ill spent. Entertainers, influencers, and journalists have become famous on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter in ways the pre-social media market simply couldn't and wouldn't allow because of who they are, what they say, and how they feel. In a vacuum, these endless exchanges are downright utopian, and everyone from every angle has the potential to benefit, from publishers and developers right on down to the most casual and occasional of gamers. For those of us who grew up reading gaming magazines or browsing the earliest websites, this is a welcome replacement for that rather isolated reality. We no longer have to rely on the scant friends we have who happen to play, or chat with the clerk at the local game store to get our fix. Options are finally many. But the other side of social media's double-edged sword is far less savory, far more vindictive, and incredibly destructive, and it's this side of Facebook, Twitter, and the like that have reared its ugly head more and more as time has gone on. Social media has enhanced the already sliding erosion of decency, further, if not completely eliminating, the vital nature of nuance and context in the process, and removed any pretense of respect for others. It's turned out far less utopian than many of us had hoped. The evidence is everywhere around you as, instead of social media acting as an epicenter of conversation, culture, and commerce, it's turned into a figurative but still noxious, toxic waste dump of arguing, one-upping, and besting. And while it's not something exclusive to games, politics, sports, and other social spheres are going through the same upheaval, I feel like its failure to blossom with games is the biggest shame of all. Because what could have been and what could still be is so awesome, if only we could get there. The subject matter of this video was originally inspired by a Medium post by a man named Morgan Jaffet. Jaffet is the founder of the Australian studio Deviant Development, which is behind the Hand of Fate games, and his post, entitled "The Topic Every Game Dev is Talking About Behind Closed Doors, The Cost of Doing Business," really resonated with me, so much so that I reached out to him privately to pick his brain about a few things, ask some questions, and attain some clarifications. Jaffet's roughly 8-minute read can be summed up like this. The gaming community is insanely toxic, and game developers are receiving endless amounts of scorn, ridicule, and abuse by largely anonymous passersby on social media as a result. Worse yet, Jaffet identifies something that I think is absolutely true. The problems social media present to the industry are getting far worse as time moves on, as we move further and further away from those aforementioned utopian ideals of a town square populated by 7 billion people. In showing just a small sliver of the abuse he and others receive, Japhet writes, quote, "It hasn't always been the case, but it certainly is now. This has become the established discourse between creators and audiences in the game space," end quote. He later writes when talking about trying to focus on the good people and making games for those good people, quote, "It's getting harder and harder to stomach that the price of making a game is an unending wave of abuse, day in, day out, for the rest of your professional life. For the record, I'm not suggesting online abuse has just started to become an issue in the last year. What I'm drawing attention to here is the normalization of online abuse, both from the perspective of content creators and from the point of view of the audience," end quote. I couldn't agree more with Mr. Japhet here because he's right on the money. It's not necessarily startling on its own that people are being abusive. It's startling that we all stand by and pretend that this is normal, healthy, and accepted discourse as everything burns down around us. It's bombing our entire industry's ability to be different, to rise above, and to take advantage of the wonderful tools before us to become a global, cohesive, and constructive community of millions. Too many people are leading, in essence, double lives, where they act one way online and another way in person. But why? Why are we acting like this? And more importantly, why are we allowing others to? How is any of this a positive for us as individuals or as a collection of enthusiasts? What do we get out of letting this type of behavior fester? As I was speaking to Mr. Japhet, a second issue cropped up that played into my thesis, this time involving a close friend of mine, the talented writer and podcaster Alexa Ray Correa. Correa has a storied history in games media, writing for Polygon and GameSpot, and now working as one of the purveyors of What's Good Games. Alexa had the audacity to write about her hope that the few female characters in Dragon Ball Z might be in an upcoming DBZ game. As a result, she received a torrent of unwarranted abuse, which she explained to me as such, quote, "I'm getting rape and death threats because I wrote about how I hoped new female characters would be included in a game based on a show with a male-dominated cast. I've been called retarded, every variation of stupid, and I've been told repeatedly that I deserve to be slapped or have male genitalia shoved in my mouth. All because I wrote a story about my opinion of a video game," end quote. See, the thing is, I know that some people can't relate to what Mr. Japhet and Ms. Correa have been going through and are going through, and that's understandable. And it's important to note that the abuse doesn't just go one way. The way portions of the games media talks about its audience and the way some developers talk to their players is insane and oft goes overlooked. I don't want to ignore that either or pretend that that doesn't happen. And while it's absolutely positively true that a majority of the feedback all three of us get is kind, the bad stick out like a sore thumb, and it's easy to fixate on the unkind. But I want to put this into more human terms for you by opening up about an experience I've been going through, a candid look at the abuse I've put up with in the gaming industry from one person in particular, how that abuse is manufactured, and how it's all become frighteningly normalized. In short, I have an online serial harasser that focuses much of his oftentimes daily attention not only at me and my content, but on my audience, my family, and seemingly anything else that I happen to associate with. Worse yet, he does it out in the open, to and for an audience, with the rather explicit blessing of a quiet games industry that otherwise directs no shortage of outrage, rightfully so, in the direction of many other instances of focused harassment and stalking. His name is Bob Mackey, an ex-writer for a few small game websites and a current cartoon podcaster. Bob and I worked in the same building briefly when he was at 1UP and I was at IGN, and ever since then, Bob has had a massive chip on his shoulder for reasons unknown that has materialized into the most consistent and most unrelenting harassment I've ever encountered in my nearly 2 decades in writing about video games online. Literally anything I say, do, or feel, he'll attack. Worse yet, he routinely and intentionally removes the context and meaning of what I say to paint the worst possible picture to his audience. It's injurious, hurtful, and totally uncalled for, and just one of what must be thousands of cases of ongoing abuse in the gaming industry that go completely unchecked by our peers. Now let's be clear, I don't mind if you don't like me, my content, my opinions, or anything else. You have every right to feel how you want, and I'd say you even have the right to tell me. But when things are intentionally misrepresented in order to blow things out of proportion and injure a person's character, when the level of stalking and harassment leads a bully to spend much of his time watching the content he apparently hates, looking at social media accounts he's blocked from seeing, and then directing his and his army's ire against a person who never, as in literally never, throws the first punch, I firmly believe that a line is crossed, and that it's up to the good among us to do something about it. That's what I'm doing here, not only on my own behalf and the behalf of Mr. Japhet and Ms. Correa, but for everyone that has to deal with a terrible situation they feel they have no control over. I want to tell you guys a bit about this story and open up about it so you know that this stuff is really happening and that it's hard for some people to speak about it openly. Whether because of fear or embarrassment or shame, for me it's all three if I'm being honest. and that we all need to do better to combat it as a group. Because what Morgan Jaffet and Alexa Ray Correa are going through isn't isolated or unique, which is so sad. And their want to retreat from something they love to recover a semblance of sanity is so familiar to me. But at the end of the day, Mackie's continued harassment of me is unnerving for one specific reason. I truly believe that it can spill over into the real world, just like I imagine Jaffet and Correa feel. The second I realized that this wasn't just a ruse is the second that I really started to feel more sympathy for the countless similar situations you read about on a near daily basis online, especially in our gaming industry, and especially when it comes to people who are more vulnerable or it gets much worse for. We've gotten to such a destructive point in our beloved hobby that this kind of threatening, over-the-top behavior has somehow become acceptable. But it really, truly isn't. In 2017, Bob tweeted about me 630 times. Bob will make fun of my audience, call me a racist or a sexist or a bigot, make fun of my looks, insult my family and where I'm from, make fun of my content and my Patreon, my audience and my friends. The point is, he'll make fun of literally anything and call out literally anything and send his followers on the warpath towards me so long as I'm associated with it. But his favorite maneuver is by far taking what I say, spinning and twisting it, misrepresenting it, and then hoping it catches on so that it injures my character and standing with others. Oftentimes it works, as I'll illustrate for you shortly. Either way, it's textbook harassment. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this level of unabashed fixation doesn't frighten me, because it does. This behavior spans back a couple of years, but as Mr. Jaffet notes, his problems are crescendoing, and when it comes to Bob, so are mine. In the fall of 2017, I stopped shrugging Bob's obsessive behavior off when, in a moment of candor, he admitted that he intends on stalking me for the rest of my life in a tweet he's since deleted. From that moment on, the situation became suddenly serious for me. Could this spill into the real world? Am I in danger or anyone I know and love? It's unlikely, but when you're dealing with unhinged behavior, it's impossible to say, made all the more scary by the people who see this behavior, condone it, ignore it, or egg it on. He spends much of his time chronicling my content, circumventing social media blocks, and attempting to destroy my reputation, so why wouldn't he take the next step? All I know is that I never, not once in my life, thought to myself or expressed to anyone else that I was scared for my safety until I started dealing with a person who simply wouldn't let up, who wouldn't leave me alone, who wouldn't stop circumventing social media blocks, who wouldn't stop spreading contextless lies and half-truths about me, putting me in further potential danger with people who may seek to injure me or those I care about. Because you simply never know. You have to take all necessary precautions, something I thought was somewhat laughable online until it happened to me. I didn't know what to do, so I sought help from professionals and people I trusted. I received advice from multiple knowledgeable sources that had me go down the following road. Have everything he said chronicled in case something happens to me and he later tries to delete the trail. Continue to stay silent until spoken to or about, which in 2018 has morphed into I'm never acknowledging this creep on Twitter again, because I never once felt good about firing back. Let others know what's going on, so even if the most unlikely of situations comes to pass, people know that this isn't new or out of left field. I paid a member of my community to create a compendium, which is how I know the number of times he's tweeted about me, and I alerted family members and close friends that I was dealing with a situation I had never dealt with before, just so they were aware. But there's little else I could do or can do. Even if, in 2018, Bob is on pace to talk about me on Twitter 2,900 times, or roughly 5 times the amount he fixated on me in 2017. Could you imagine caring about anything or anyone enough that you'd tweet about it 630 times or 3,000 times, or even a small fraction of that, in a single year? Well, you don't have to imagine it. You're hearing all about it. It's weird that this video kept developing as I wrote it, as things happened, and lo and behold, the most salient example of what Bob does to me, and what others like him do to people in the gaming sphere on a daily basis, occurred as I was wrapping this script up. Danny O'Dwyer, the founder of the gaming documentary series Noclip, tweeted out something about diversity hiring in games. I sounded off with what I felt was a respectful counter, and invited him to be on my show and to go to dinner whenever he was in LA. The entirety of that conversation is on the screen before you. Nothing is missing. This is the entire conversation I had with Danny, not including a private message I sent him later that night to see if he knew someone I could talk to further on the issue for my show, though I never heard back from him. So what did Bob do? Here's what he did. He selected a screen grab of the conversation totally devoid of context, tweeted it out to all of his followers without linking to the totality of what was said, and allowed the harassment to rain down on me by design. And so what happened? All of this happened. Everything that's littering your screen right now is what I received as a result. Read it. Take it all in. This is what I deal with weekly, if not sometimes daily. It's not an isolated circumstance in our gaming industry, but it's my circumstance, all because one person intentionally poisoned the discourse. I never thought I'd open up about all of this, but I have. I hope it helps instruct you on what others are dealing with too, that sometimes these issues of abuse aren't so cut and dry, and then it makes perfect sense why people speak up, sound off, and sometimes even fear for their safety, while others remain quiet and stay in the shadows out of shame or fear. I can relate. But all of this makes a much more important point. There are bad actors among us that have no desire to do the right thing, to be positive, or to show decency. Many of these people no doubt deserve our sympathies at the end of the day. Some people are depressed and lash out. Others are experiencing troubles we can't imagine. That emotion sometimes gets wrapped up in a ball of envious or jealous or fill-in-the-blank anger that has no outlet other than at a specific target who is the reason you didn't achieve or succeed or get what you want. However concrete or nebulous it all is, even bad actors can be turned, and we shouldn't ignore that. These people poison the well for everyone, but I think no one is beyond redemption. Even the people who threaten my well-being. The good news is that there are way more of us than them, and we can overwhelm the negativity with positivity if just we showed even the slightest effort to do so. In an email correspondence, Morgan Jaffet told me the following, which I felt was so well put. Quote, "I think we as a society are struggling with how to deal with this form of access. We've built tools that allow anyone to shout directly at you. That hasn't scaled very well." End quote. See, the tools aren't perfect, but none of us are perfect either. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We've all screwed up and we will all screw up again. All of us in one way or another has likely contributed at some point in the past or present to a growing toxicity, a growing lack of safety, a growing disregard for respect and decency in our industry. The thing that we need to focus on now is being better. We all need to be better. We need to be better to game developers like Morgan Jaffet. We need to be better to writers like Alexa Ray Correa. We need to be better to each other. We need to create a games industry where tough conversation is encouraged, explored, and metered, where criticism can sidle right up alongside praise without feelings being hurt, where honesty and integrity and mutual respect are paramount, no matter who you are or what your politics are or what games you love or dislike. Our industry is becoming abusive, and social media is where it's playing out. The change we want to see is inside all of us. We just need to put one foot in front of the other and sort this out once and for all so that everyone, developers, publishers, journalists, gamers, YouTubers, podcasters, and others, have a safe, welcoming, and encouraging environment to enjoy their favorite medium of entertainment. Well, that's it for this unusually long episode of Colin's Last Stand SideQuest. I hope you enjoyed it. It feels good to kind of open up to you guys and let you know what I've been thinking about, and to also share some of these stories from others, from Alexa and from Morgan, about their abuse and kind of the harassment that they go through on a daily basis. We all need to try to be better and to elevate the conversation. And trust me, I've failed and you've probably failed, but it doesn't mean we can't keep trying. Leave your comments below. Thumb up the video if you liked it. Thumb it down if you didn't. Share it with friends and family if you feel obliged to do so. And I thank you once again for your generosity, your attention, your kindness. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Colin's Last Stand SideQuest. I will see you next time. Keep on gaming.